does bring back memories, and a lot of those players, Mark Bedrosian, lives on the same street as you,
yep,
I believe.
Yep.
And, you know, I still see him quite a bit, and he's a principal in, I believe, in Medford, and I go down there and do some speaking. And Mark Bavaro's still around, and I guess Pat Ambrose.
Who? Well, who?
little guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Pat Ambrose, who played too, is now the chief of police in Danvers.
Coach, that's right. Coach Ryan Nolan was mentioning the other day you, and he was mentioning how you had some pretty good tight ends.
Ryan Forster.
And,
yeah.
Including Brett.
Yeah.
And I immediately popped up. You also had some pretty good quarterbacks.
Right. In fact, I saw Kenny Perrone the other day in Gloucester. He's living in Gloucester now. So, yeah, Paul Coleman, Kenny Perrone, Scott Powers, who's no longer with us. He passed. And Ryan Forster was a great tight end.
Duke St. Pierre, he was in that group
he was
somewhere.
Good too. Wally Dembowski.
Yep.
Yeah, they were just
and it goes on.
Lot,
I mean,
a lot of good football players.
And it's funny how it cycles, Paul. I mean, Winthrop. I have great respect for Winthrop. Tim and I talk to Sean Driscoll a lot, and we talk about the kids at Winthrop High School. It reminds me of Gloucester. It's a small, tight community, and the kids. There are only a few kids on the football team, but they're tough. And what's your recollection against playing? I mean, you had great success against Winthrop, but
well, we had some great battles. I remember we went down there in we had a good football team. And we went down there in 2006, and I'll never forget the first hit of the game. And that's the year they went to the Super Bowl. They played at Stonehill. I think it's Stonehill College they played the game. But we received the kickoff, and they came down, and they laid one of our linemen out, and it was a long night. But the following year, yeah, they had a really good team that year. And the following year, then we beat them, and we ended up going to the Super Bowl.
I think the Fusillas were playing at that point, or the kids were somewhere around that time.
I believe.
Somewhere in that.
Well, I think Anthony was playing probably my 2003 team. We went down there, had a great game. And what I remember about that is we were both really evenly matched. And we had, it was a close, close game. And it got to the third quarter, and we had fourth and inches to go. And I was really questioning whether we should go for it because they was, and we just got it. And on the very next play, Nicky Gigoloni popped a fullback trap for like 70 yards for a touchdown.
Wow.
Well, we ended up winning the game.
It's interesting because last night, you know, for a matter of inches, that could have been a whole different game, you know, with momentum and so on with the Patriots game. But, yeah, the decisions you have to make must be kind of fun trying to figure that out.
But, you know, they certainly deserve a new field. I mean, that.
Yeah.
That
well,
place was really, I mean, the bleachers were condemned, and, you know, it was just a tough place for
I'm glad you brought
everybody.
That up. Let me take another quick break here, and then we'll mention that, because Winthrop is on the road all season, much like some of the other schools have had to do recently, and that cannot be easy. So let's take another quick break here. We'll come back with our pregame chatter on MSO News Sports. We've got high school football tonight on MSO, and very glad that you're with us. We'll be right back.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
A great way to monitor what's happening on the North Shore? Get the MSO News Sports app. A click here, a click there, you're listening or watching North Shore football. And check out the latest stories on our webpage, msonewsports.com.
Well, this is the opening night for us at MSO, and of course for high school football. Big weekend for us over on Channel A tonight at 7:30. Bill Newell, Tim Kearns will bring you Medford at Lynn Classical as Medford coming over from the GBL. Tomorrow we'll have Beverly at Lynn English. That's a huge game already. That's a 7 o'clock game for Manning. And Marty Smith and I will be at Hamilton tomorrow. We're going to have Bishop Fenwick at Hamilton Wenham. On our scoreboard or on our schedule, we have a 1 o'clock start, but that's a 2 o'clock start. So we've got four games lined up for you already on this first weekend.
Tomorrow?
We'll just radio. Just radio. Okay. No video tomorrow. And our video game next week will be Beverly at Gloucester. Marty Smith and you will be there for that one. I have to miss that one. Wish I weren't. And the other game will be Danvers at Peabody as the Danvers Falcons will be traveling over to Peabody to play over there. That will be our Friday night lineup. And then on Saturday, it'll be Triton at Swampscott. So we got a lot of games. We got tons and tons of games even before the playoffs begin. And we're going to try to have one video game per weekend. We got a new wrinkle this year is Andrew Nicastro, our streamographer, is doing a two-camera shoot. Plus, we're going to be introducing our clients' video ads, our video advertising. We're so appreciative to all the people who sponsor high school football here on MSO and sponsor our website as well. And we'll be doing plenty of radio games to go along with our video. But also, take a look at Thursday. Last night, Bill Newell put up our new football preview show, and that's all video with all the coaches. And so take a look at that. That's on the website as I speak.
And the website is, Rick?
MSONewsports.com. MSONewsports.com. Because you can listen to us on the app. The app is so quick, so easy to work. Get the more MSO News Sports app.
So you can be at the game and actually watch the plays on your phone.
It would be like a little bit of a replay because there's
right.
a little bit of a delay.
Great. Yeah, but that's great.
So it would be a replay. That's correct. And you can also access it on Facebook. We also have on our Facebook page, we're doing live streaming video. So we got all over the place. Ain't no excuse to not see the game. Paul, you were mentioning, though, the fact that Winthrop will be playing all of the games on the road with the possible exception of Thanksgiving. What's that do to a high school team? That can't be easy.
Well, Gloucester had to do it a few years ago, and they went over to Manchester and played over there as their home field. So they had a feeling, you know, of playing in the same place a couple of times, you know, which I think is better than playing at the other team's home field.
I mean,
that's really difficult, but... You know, you got to do what you got to do. They really do have to fix that stadium and build a new stadium for the Winthrop kids.
Well, we take a look at Danvers, and we've already mentioned Taj Coakley. First-year coach Ryan Nolan, I'm reading from the Globe right now, will try to duplicate the successes that landed Danvers in the 2016 Division II-A North Semis. Senior running back, defensive back Colby Holland, three-time state champion wrestler, looks to bounce back after being hampered by an ankle injury last year. The quarterback, Justin Mullaney, has impressed with his arm this offseason, and so has senior tight end Zach Dillon. Coach Nolan is quoted as saying, Dillon is a strong, smart, physical player on both sides and is a leader by example. Dillon and running back Taj Coakley are the Falcons' only returning starters. I believe Coakley has something like 11 touchdowns or more. And, of course, Winthrop on the other side. By the way, Danvers went 9-2 last year, and last year Winthrop is in Division 6 North. Division 6 North, Winthrop. They're playing Division 3 North school, Danvers. And last year...
Rick, this is just beyond anyone normal person's comprehension.
I don't know. You know, all the coaches I talk to just to shake their heads. Athletic director is not in favor of so much of this stuff. Coach is not in favor of it. So who is?
Principals,
administrators. Yep. And it just doesn't make any sense for travel, especially for Gloucester and Lynn Classical, where they have to travel. And conversely, for Somerville, Medford, and Malden. It's silly. It's just kind of weird. Anyway, last year, Coach Driscoll was 3-8. He's in his 11th season. 11 years already for Coach Driscoll, because Coach Fusillo was coaching over there when we first started these broadcasts on MSO. And ever since then, it's been Coach Driscoll. 53 wins, 47 losses coming into this season. So we're about 12 minutes away here. We're going to go in a couple of minutes to our pregame video interviews with both coaches. And again, darkening skies now as we are headed into fall. Paul, did you work with Gloucester? I mean, a lot of times I know that you do work with Coney Zerilli sometimes, and you work with Gloucester. You know some of those kids still. Any news coming out of that? I know they're small in numbers, but what's the outlook for them?
Well, no, I didn't work with him. I usually the quarterbacks call me up in the off season, and we work out once or twice a week. But no calls this year, so you know, for whatever reason. So, I haven't been down there at all. I know that it's been a huge turnover for Coach Aurelio for his assistant coaches.
Yeah.
Brian Anderson certainly made a commitment to being the defensive coordinator, the offensive line coach. He had a job upgrade at work, and he had to leave. He just couldn't get out in time for practice. So I believe John Fosbury is taking over for him and doing the offensive line. Joey Avila, who was the quarterback last year, he's running the offense, I think, with Coach Zirilli, and Joey certainly is very knowledgeable with the wing tee and very upbeat player. Timmy Philpott, who is an accountant in Gloucester, who had two sons go through the season, he actually went to Tony and asked if he could coach, and Tony needed coaches. And Drew Shears, who played for Tony a few years ago, is coaching the freshman along with Paul Hickey.
I know. Yep.
And Paul Hickey is quite a story because he played back when I first started in his brother, and they were very good players, and the dad was really a legend in Gloucester, Peter Hickey. And, it's good to see him back in the community, too, and helping out.
Yep, absolutely. And such a small coaching community. I was over at Hamilton when I'm talking with Coach Pugh over there for tomorrow's game, and he introduced me to Bill Peach, whose son is one of the stars, linebacker and so on, of Hamilton Wenham, and he's the brother of Steve Peach, who we all know from Saugus High School.
Never forget that name, boy. I'll tell you, one of the greatest games in the North Shore history was, I think, Saugus beating Lynn Classical with Thurman and all those guys, and Steve Peach having such a tremendous game.
He was amazing, and we saw him with a 48-yard field goal against Beverly. All right, we're going to turn it over to the video boys now and see if we can get our pregame interviews up there, and you'll be seeing from both coaches, so hang in there. All right, there you go, Coach. Both coaches. We saw Coach Sean Driscoll, and then we saw Coach Nolan there with our pregame interviews, and both, of course, very excited about the season. We're back live, and Danvers has come onto the field. They are out ready for the coin toss. Winthrop coach is coming to the near sidelines, and the Vikings are coming onto the field now. We're just about ready for some football. This should be fun.
Yeah, I'm excited to get going. You know, it's... excuse me. They've been at it for a couple weeks, so I know that you just can't wait for that first game to start, and then it seems once it starts, the season really rolls right along.
It just flies, I know. And it does seem like just the other day we were up here for the Thanksgiving Day game. Tonight's officials, courtesy of Phil Fingers Brody. You really wanted me to say that?
Yes.
Okay.
I just want to bet.
Okay. All right. Phil Brody up here on the clock. Our referee is Joe Donovan, the umpire Brett Connolly. Linesman is Pat McAndrews. The back judge is Mark Dillon. And the line judge is Pat McMenamin. And say it again, McMenamin.
McMenamin,
okay. So those that information courtesy of Phil, who always helps us out every time we see him. All the captains are at the center of the field. And
I believe they said that Winthrop only has six seniors, and I think they're all captains there.
Okay, that makes sense.
They are.
I'm going to rely on Sean to pick out the numbers for us for Winthrop, because you can see that, I know, the gold on white. Plus, I got one eye that just doesn't see anymore. So, we'll see what we can do. Again, a beautiful night. A lot of people here for this late summer pre-fall game. A little bit of color.
I've always felt like on a Friday night, what's better than going to a high school football game? I mean, I just think it's really enjoyable to watch the kids, and the atmosphere of high school football keeps you young.
I think the atmosphere is terrific, too. You do have so many supporters. Parents show up. As I said, Matt Andreas from last year's team will be up here at halftime. They had to evacuate the school in Florida. The schools were closed, and so kids were sent home, and he was able to get home safely. So we'll talk to Matt at halftime, and I imagine that...
Do you get a chance to practice at all?
Or he did. He did. Yeah. Apparently, he had made the traveling squad, but then, we'll ask him about it. I want to make sure we get it straight. But he ended up being redshirted. So,
well, that's pretty typical. Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially if you're injured.
But he said he had a really good experience. Especially what?
Well, I mean, sometimes they redshirt you just because of your, you know, they have enough people mm-hmm. in the position, but you're almost guaranteed if you get hurt.
All right, so Winthrop will receive, Danvers will kick off, and see if we can sort of get the rust off here and try to get this thing going. As Danvers Falcons, they've got the blue jerseys, the gray pants, the white numerals, white helmets, and, of course, Winthrop hopping up and down here on the near side with the white jerseys and the gold numerals, gold pants, gold helmets. And over to, off to the right, sun setting behind the trees. Wish we had a mic over there. We got a little bit of the echo band off to our left on the same side as we are, so we really didn't get the full sound, but it was a great rendition of the national anthem. All right, we're ready to go, and Danvers High School will be kicking off from right to left, Winthrop receiving down to our left. Still waiting for the teams to go onto the field as side judge is pushing the teams back on this side. Only stands only on one side, as you see in most new stadiums around the North Shore right now, and I presume that's due to cost.
Yeah, around $250,000 for a small set of bleachers.
Mm-hmm. Scoreboard is kind of weird. It's angled off to our right, facing angling toward this side of the stands, but that makes sense because there are no stands on the other side. All right, so kicking off from right to left will be the Falcons, and good heavens, trying to see those numbers down there. No idea. All right, that's Fetal Small, number 40, back deep. Thank you, Sean. And kicking off for Danvers is Captain Zach Dillon. Small is a junior, 5'8", 155. He's in the middle. He's got back to his left, a back to his right on the hash mark, and one up in front. Let's see how far Dillon gets this thing. It's a line drive that's going to bounce at about the 15, go up to the 10, return to the 20, down the sideline 30, and then out of bounds at about the 35. And
well, Danvers lost contain. It was a right return. You could see they set up to run the ball to the right sideline, and pretty good return because
Bobby Hubert.
Danvers lost contain.
Hubert is a freshman, 5'8", 155. So now, Winthrop will line up. Oh, I've got to write it down, don't I? I forgot about that. And there's no light up here either, so this is going to be a challenge. Oh, thank you. I'm sorry. So, Winthrop starts. Thanks, Sean. I know it's a pain. Starting at their own 35-yard line. And one running back, handoff up the middle. Out to about the 39. Might have been Tyler Chedina.
Nice pickup of around 5 yards.
Yep.
Well, just from, I didn't see their team warm up, Winthrop, but it looks like they're sticking with the wing tee. They were a very good wing tee team for years, and it looked like their plan on that play was just run straight ahead and
Jake Adamson is the quarterback, and it's a handoff again to the tailback, and he gets some good yardage. I think that's Small.
That's a fullback, and that's a trap.
Yeah.
Quick trap up the middle.
And he gets it out close to a first down, a couple of yards short. Oh, very close. At the 44. So Small gets about a 4-yard gain. It'll be third and one, just underway. And checking into the game for Winthrop is Brian Concheco. So A.J. Massa is the center, Chris Lyons, Mike McCone, the guards up front, Calvin Tufta, Pat Texera are the tackles. Tight formation, quarterback, keeper, line surge. First down, Winthrop all the way out to about the 48-yard line.
Well, generally you go shoot a shoe and run quarterback sneak, So there's no gaps in the line, and you run it off either over one of your guards or your center and just form a wedge.
Very impressive. So
very impressive so far.
The first, yep. Brett Sheehan is the tight end. Running backs Hubert, Small, and Chedina. And going to split receivers right and left, ball in the near hash mark. Winthrop moving from left to right. Quick pop pass in and out of the hands of the intended receiver. Sheehan at the Danvers 48, second down.
Well, a quick square out. He was open. The pass is a little bit high. Get his hands on it, though.
Yeah, I thought he was going to come down with it.
Danvers is running a 4-3 defense. It's an even defense, so there's no one on the center. And they have usually will line up their two nose men on the guards, and the tackles will line up on the defensive tackles line up on the offensive tackles.
Wing off to the left this time with receivers right and left. One running back in the backfield. It's Small. Gets the handoff off of left tackle. Positive yardage across the 50 to the 48 of Danvers.
That's just a wide trap off tackle, and no lead block. Guard pulls and kicks out the defensive end, and the back comes in inside of the kickout.
Well, big third down play now for Winthrop. They're shuttling a receiver in and out with the play, I presume. Whole bunch of Winthrop Danvers cheerleaders down here. Winthrop cheerleaders, not as many in numbers, but they're doing their job as well. Ball right smack dab in the middle of the field on the Falcon at the 48-yard line of Danvers with the man in motion. It's a handoff, quick hitter left side, and it's going to be stopped well short of the first down. That was small again.
Yeah, they're getting good yardage except for the pass play. Are they going to call fourth down?
We got positive yardage. Well, maybe only a yard this time to the 47. So it's fourth down. And
it looks like they're thinking of going for it.
Yeah, that's exactly what it looks like. Danvers has, on their defense, Ron Romadigu, Tom Walfield, Lance Ladesima up front, up front. Backers are Di Tommaso, Francesco Abatessa, Zach Dillon, and Almani Vargas. Here we go, fourth down and five. Oh, and Danvers jumps. So was that what they were trying to do?
Well, I assume that's the play. What they do is what's called a hard count. So you go something like, ready, go. And what happens is you got to warn that, well, you only call it when you have five or less.
Mm-hmm.
And they did, so they're going to get the first down.
Well.
So really nice call.
How about
that? And you tell the center to snap the ball if a defender goes offside, so he can't get back.
Kyle Bunga. So the drive stays alive for the Winthrop Vikings. Again, the ball midway between the hash marks. They're moving from left to right. They've had the ball since the beginning. Started at their own 40 after a tremendous return by Small. Danvers bringing five men up to the line. Rolling to his right, quarterback Adamson. Being pursued, going to be hit and dropped for a loss back at the 45-yard line.
Well, they kind of they ran their routes into the sideline. They were on the right hash, and there's not a lot of room here to run routes, and didn't look like anybody was open.
3-yard loss. It is a sack. Clock moving. 7 minutes to go. First quarter, no score. Winthrop will be running their ninth play of this series. They have the ball at their own, at the Danvers 45. Ball just nudging the 45. Small is the lone running back with a man in motion. He gets the handoff right up the middle. Good line surge, then driven back. Got about three, maybe, before being driven backward.
Only run one running play outside. Everything's been up the middle.
Give him.
Probably trying to trap the defenders rather than. Maybe they feel the speed of Danvers' defense is too much on the outside.
Only give him one. 1 yard gain. So, ball is at the 44. And now we're facing a third and long for Winthrop. They've been just chipping away here. Longest gain so far from scrimmage, 5 yards. Again, one running back. Twins to the right, man in motion. It's a run play with the wing around. Going to be hit and drop way back on the Winthrop side of the field. I think that might have been Sheehan. Vargas with the tackle, though, in the sack, and now momentum switches. Danvers takes over. First down. Oh, I'm sorry. It's fourth down. Excuse me. Fourth down and forever. Ball is back at the 49 of Winthrop. So I expect they'll punt now.
I would think.
All right, so.
Coakley very dangerous back there, too.
Oh, yeah. Falcons will get it away from about their own 40. The punter is Andrew Love. Look out, rush on, just gets it away, and it's not a bad punt. Going to hit at the 26, roll inside the 20 to the 18. And I know, Coach, that's your favorite thing, letting the punt go.
Rick.
you hammered that home first season, and I've never forgotten it.
Yeah.
It does make a difference, though, Coach.
What was that year? It was like six games before Gloucester...
Fielded a punt?
Fielded a punt.
I think that was when you first started working here. So the ball is at the Danvers 18-yard line, and they get the ball for the first time. 5 minutes left to go. First quarter. I'm Rick Moore, along with Paul Ingram. And our scoreboard updates brought to you by Moynihan Lumber all season long. Thanks to Gerard Moynihan and the Moynihan Lumber family. Handoff run play, right side. There it goes, out to the 28, all the way out to the 30-yard line. First play from scrimmage. And that was Holland, Colby Holland, on the first carry. First down for Danvers. Made it easy, out to the 30, 12-yard gain. Second down, first down on the first play. Justin Mullaney is the quarterback. Tom Wallfield, Lance Ladesma, Andrew Brennan, Ron Romadigue, Franco Abatessa up front. Mullaney is the quarterback. Zach Dillon, tight end. Run play over the left side, out to about the 34.
Just a toss sweep to Coakley. Looked like he was intended to be a sweep, but he cut it right back up. Got his shoulder square.
Coakley's,
pretty good game.
Coakley's first carry. So Coakley can go in the backfield. He can go out and receive. Right now you see Colby Holland, number 21, as the deep back. Matt McCarthy off to the right. Matt Reedy in motion. Handoff to the tailback. Holland spins away across the 35 to the 37.
Looked like he had trouble with the ball. He certainly was more concerned about securing the ball than he was gaining yardage.
3 yards out to the 37. Third down and two for Danvers. Clock moving, 3:35. Beautiful night. Temperature in the mid-60s and tremendous crowd. I think Winthrop travels well early. Well, they're going to have to travel well this year, aren't they? All right, so we had the I formation stacked up behind quarterback, and we got a whistle before the play gets underway. That's usually against the offense, yes?
Yeah, well, it's...
Was there a timeout?
Winthrop is playing a 4-3 defense also, so there's a soft spot in the middle, and it was short yardage. And it looked like Winthrop came up to blitz, and I don't know if it drew an illegal procedure against...
No, they called timeout.
They called timeout,
yeah.
Before.
Yep. Danvers called timeout. 3:19 left to go. No score. Winthrop opened up the game with a 10-play drive that stalled after a big sack by Danvers. Gave the ball, forced Winthrop to punt, I should say. So 3:19 left to go. Falcons moving from right to left. They have a third and two with a fullback and a tailback in the eye. And again, Reedy in motion to the tailback. Coakley, there he goes. Busted through across the 45, across the 50. Still moving. And he finally is brought down at the 44-yard line of Winthrop. Showing power as well as speed.
Well, you're right. It just looks like he's at a different level than the guys trying to tackle him.
19-yard gain for Coakley on his second carry. That's a big first down for Danvers. Set the defense for Winthrop. They've got everybody on offense is now on defense. So, same guys for the most part.
That's what you get when you're low on numbers.
They'll have a couple of substitutes, but most of these guys have to go the whole game on both sides of the ball. So again, it's that this time Coakley is in motion. It's a pitch back, run play off to the right down the sideline, stop before the 40-yard line, and that was Holland carrying it. They're going to put it at the 42. So it's early, only a short gain, 2 yards. I thought they got more than that. Second and eight as clock winding down in this fast-moving first quarter. Getting darker, still nice night. Love these early games, Paul, for the weather. It's not too cold, not too warm.
Yeah, you know what, Rick? It's what time is it, and it's already dark. Now.
Well, I'm a skier, Paul. I'm getting excited. I'm getting pumped. I love this time of year, and I love winter even more. All right, this time you've got a man in motion. It's Reedy again from left to right. Stops, puts the brakes on. Quarterback keeper busted through to the 30, to the 20, to the 10, down the sideline, and it is a touchdown. Quarterback keeper, Mullaney, all the way. 42 yards, Danvers lead 6-0.
I don't know if it's a call play or he just sees a certain defensive alignment that he calls it the number for himself, but basically untouched.
That's a fairly common play for Danvers. We've seen that a lot over the last couple of years. So the Falcons break out on top as... That's a 42-yard run by Captain Justin Mullaney. And he showed some speed. 42 yards. And for Danvers, that's a six-play, 82-yard drive. With 2:07 left to go. So penalty on the extra point attempt. And we await the play. Here we go. So Danvers lining up for two. No, I can't tell. What are they doing?
Well, they ran that water bucket where they line up and then they shift into a kicking formation.
Well, they run it.
Run the ball from that.
Get the two. Holland up the middle.
Tough to defend if you've never seen it before. You know, like Winthrop probably has not seen him do that, so you really have to line up right at the spur of the moment, and the kids have never seen it, so they probably have no idea where to line up.
So what have you seen so far, Paul? I mean, Danvers really kind of made it look easy. It looks like they've got the weapons again.
Right, it does. Yeah, it really does. And I mean, I was just so impressed with Coakley last year that but it looks like he's, you know, he's kind of mixing him and Holland at tailback, and you know, which is not a bad idea. They're both certainly capable runners, and don't wear them out, because it looks like they're going to be an I formation team here, and they're going to just, you know, their main part of their game is going to be running between the tackles.
Mm-hmm. Football tomorrow on MSO News Sports says we'll be at Hamilton for Bishop Fenwick at Hamilton Wenham. That's a 2 o'clock start. But tonight at 7 o'clock, don't forget, we've got football on Channel A, Medford at Lynn Classical with Bill Newell and Tim Kearns. Here it's 8-0. Danvers with the lead. They scored on their first possession. Winthrop moved the ball on its first possession, but Vikings not able to score. Kickoff is going to be very short, going to bounce at the 20-yard line, and it's going to force Winthrop to retreat, and this is going to be a problem. Tackled all the way back at the 5-yard line. Oh, boy.
Well, football is not like a baseball. It's, you get oddball bounces, and so what you do is anytime a ball is going to bounce in front of you, you've got to give it at least four yards so you can see which direction it's going to bounce, and you try to short hop it. It barely ever works.
Whew, mercy. Well, second possession for Danvers, excuse me, for Winthrop, so you know Danvers is going to be unloading now. And Vikings keeping it on the ball first time. Running backs primarily were Adamson and Small. Hubert Love should get some action as well. Man in motion. I think the quarterback just spun around and kept it and got it across about the 8. It is Adamson with the keeper. That wasn't an option, was it, Paul? He just kind of
did. No, I think he faked to the fullback and just followed him through the hole.
All right, they do get it to the 8-yard line, so trying to protect the ball and stay safe here, I presume. Clock moving with 1:35 left to go first quarter. Justin Mullaney with a 42-yard run to put Danvers out on top. Wide receiver on the near side now. Man in motion, and Adamson gives it to Small up the middle. Falcons converge, maybe a 1-yard gain.
Well, it appears from what they're doing is they feel like they just can't get outside, that the speed of Danvers is too much. So they're trying to crack something inside, but now Danvers is probably overloading the middle and forcing Winthrop to go outside.
Inside, 1 minute left to go. Third down for Danvers. For Winthrop. I'll get it straight. Lots of rust. And Vikings taking their time, getting to the huddle and getting the play. Hope you're enjoying this game on our live streaming video. We're going to be doing it every Friday night, for the most part, some Saturdays. Live streaming video. Adamson wants to pass. He slips, and he goes down at about the line of scrimmage, and there is a penalty. Marker thrown into the middle of that mess. That could be anything. And let's see what it is.
Looks like it's against Winthrop. Talking to Danvers.
Yeah. Joe Donovan, the referee, talking to Dylan, the Winthrop, the Danvers captain. Yep. As you heard Sean Daugherty mention, holding against Winthrop, turn it down, and force Winthrop to punt from their own goal line.
The last punt, too, he just barely got it off. They came right up the middle.
Yeah, there were three guys on it. 20 seconds left to go, first quarter. Clock is moving. Long snap. And it is a good punt. Coakley gets it on the run at the 37 of Winthrop. Returns to the 30. Inside the 30 to the 26-yard line. Mercy. And that will, well, still 4 seconds left to go on the turnover. Or the exchange, not a turnover. But, man, Danvers starting at the Winthrop 27 after the return. Already leading 8-0.
Well, Coakley just looks like he's just so much quicker than the Winthrop defense. And he's a tall young man. He's probably 6'2 or so, or 6'3, and he really stands out.
Mm-hmm. You can see him in that tailback position. Up back in front of him. Hand off to Coakley, right up the middle, following blockers, surging forward inside the 20 to the 15 as the first quarter comes to an end. So after one score here from Dr. Deering Stadium in Danvers, it's Danvers 8 and Winthrop 0. We will be back, so stay with us.
The Bradford Tavern in Raleigh is unique, with modern touches in a rustic setting, offering the finest steaks, the freshest seafood, and many quality daily specials. Serving lunch and dinner, the Bradford Tavern is open Tuesday through Sunday, 11:30 a.m. to midnight, closed Mondays. The restaurant features two separate function rooms ideal for every need, including business meetings, bridal and baby showers, or any special event. The Bradford Tavern is located at 87 Haverhill Street, Route 133 in Raleigh, and online at bradfordtavern.com.
If you are interested in replacing your home's kitchen cabinets, please see the kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of Moynihan Lumber's three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Be sure to check out North Shore Sports Night every Monday night at 7. The North Shore Sports Talk Show with Rick Moore and Tim Kearns.
As we return, Danvers has the ball now at the Winthrop 17-yard line after a gain of 10 yards by Coakley on the last play of the quarter. 92 yards of offense right now for Danvers, and a total of 14 so far for Winthrop. 8-0, Danvers leading, but they're knocking on the door once again, second and one at the 17, almost a 10-yard gain, just under one. This time I don't see where Coakley is. And a handoff to the tailback running outside and getting outside for the first down is Holland. So Holland gets the first down. Let's see, it's just inside the 10 maybe? Yep, right at the 9. So Danvers with field position after the punt. And Coakley return, and now they're threatening once again. One play gone here in the second quarter as the out-of-bounds play stopped the clock. Now Coakley back in, a tailback. This time it's a giver run play to Coakley, but he's tackled for a loss. And
that was a counter play where they faked right and then they countered back to the left, and Winthrop's got somebody in the backfield. Danvers is running two tight ends, which balances up the defense. In other words, they can't. A lot of times, if you have just one tight end over on the other side, that short side, your defensive tackle and defensive end end up right next to each other. But when you got two tight ends, they have to cover the tight end also, which opens up some of the hole and part of the hole. And oh my gosh!
Yeah, I think Sheehan had made the tackle, but it's a personal foul. That's going to bring the ball all the way down to the 5-yard, inside the 5-yard line. So it was a good defensive play, but a bit illegal, I guess. And so the ball is just inside the 5-yard line. First and goal from the 4. Coakley is the tailback. Give to Coakley, running to the right side, goes into the end zone untouched. And it's now 14-0. Danvers. Just a power run play off the right side.
Right. It's basically the same play over and over, off tackle.
Well, what's your expression, Paul?
Got a cannon you fire.
That's right. And that's...
Only took you 7 years to learn that.
I know. I didn't remember it. I had to ask you. Coakley, though, now adds to the score, and that's... Again, a 4-yard run, 3 plays, 27 yards, 109 yards of offense for Danvers, and they'll go for the single point this time. Second play of the second quarter. And let's see. Looks like this is going to be a good kick by Isaac Downs, senior, putting it through. I think that was Isaac Downs, or was it... Well, we'll go with that for now. Anyway, it's now 15-0 with 10:26 left to go in the first half. And one thing you notice, Paul, I think, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, but on the second series when Winthrop was backed up against their own end zone, where the line was surging on the first play, they did get some positive momentum, but you don't have a lot of substitutes. I don't know, and you have to go both sides of the ball all the time. Does it make a difference early on?
Certainly does. Yeah, it certainly does. Just from watching what their plays are calling and how they're lining up, I would just say that Winthrop's game plan is to try and, bust something up the middle that they feel they can't get outside, and they haven't. I mean, they've tried a couple times. So, it's kind of you watch your team in practice, you know what they can do and what they can't do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the passing game is strong enough to throw against, or their pass blocking is good enough to give them some protection.
So this is a high end over end kick that's going to come down to the 25-yard line and return to the 30, across the 30 to about the 33, and I can't see the number. A light splashing off the gold numerals on white jerseys.
77, I believe. It was a lineman that ended up catching the ball.
Number 4?
No.
Number 4 returned the ball? Oh, 44. Okay. All right, we got a spotter. This is cool. You can see it on the camera now. That helps. So the return was by Tyler Rockefeller. All right. Got our cameraman working here. A little overtime. So anyway... Danvers will start at their own check it. Winthrop starts at their own 34-yard line. down 15-0 starting this second quarter. Adamson is the quarterback. Got wideouts left and right, ball on the far hash mark. He's going to fire it over the middle. Oh, what a catch! And he hangs on. Oh, mercy. At the 42-yard line. Fully
great
extended.
Yeah.
And he got popped as he received it, but he held on.
Well, he ran a quick slant, and he let him. And, boy, what a great catch. It takes a lot of nerve to do that.
That was love with that was love with the tackle.
It does look like the quick passing game. I mean, if he gets rid of it quickly, it's open with outs and posts. And he's really playing pretty deep off him over here.
Ball is out at the 43, so it was a 9-yard gain. And this is a run play. I think they'll get the first down on line surge.
Well, against that, it's that quarterback keeper, fakes to the fullback, and then he follows the fullback through the hole.
Is that Adamson who kept it?
Quarterback.
Yep. Gets the first down. So he's picked up a couple of balls at the 46. Did get that 3-yard gain. Clock moving at 9:28. Danvers with a couple of scores so far. Quarterback Mullaney with a 42-yarder and Taj Coakley with a 4-yarder. Winthrop trying to get some sustained offense, see if they can get some big yardage. They've had little chunks here and there with a number of first downs, but not really threatening. Here is a run play, counter play off to the right, outside, and out to about the 48-yard line of Danvers. Was that Hubert with the carry? No. Even Sean can't see the numbers, and he's got young eyes. Ball is at the Danvers, 49. So it's a 5-yard gain. We're going to say that Hubert carried it. We've got to get monitors so I can look at that. Cable has monitors. Ball on the far hash mark. Second and 5, Winthrop at the Danvers 49. This is a run play. Wing around. Good block. Cross the 45 and knocked out of bounds at the 42-yard line.
Well, that was a great block on Coakley. You can't see the numbers, so
right.
I don't know who made the block, but
Tyler Cudina with the carry.
His legs right out from underneath him.
Cudina with the carry gets the first down. And Paul, you know, the blocking was good because they're getting outside, they're getting around the edges. Don't have a lot of speed, and Danvers is catching up to them, but they're getting positive yards.
Oh, that was all blocking. They just did a great job blocking that play. That was a jet play, and
you're going to have to explain to me the difference between a jet and a rocket.
Okay.
All right. So it's first and 10, Winthrop, at the Danvers 42. Adamson wants the pass. Timing play. Launches it, and it's just overthrown at the 15-yard line and out of bounds. Incomplete.
Well, they're playing way off him, so throwing the ball deep, to me, is useless. Just, you know, take what they give you, and throw the quick outs and the quick slant, and then make them move up or just keep throwing them.
Trying to see. All right, that looks like it was number 12, so that would be Andrew Love, who was the intended receiver. Make it second and 10 at the Falcon 42. 5 men up on the line of scrimmage, 3 linebackers about 3 yards off the line of scrimmage. Run play right side, good yardage. Oh, busted out to about down to the 31-yard line. Looked like it was Love again. Andrew Love with the carry.
Well, it's that quick trap to the tight end side. The guard just, everyone blocks down, the tight end blocks down, the tackle blocks down, and the guard kicks out the defensive end, and there's, looks like there's a good hole there.
All right, so it's number 40, not number 30. That was Small with the carry. Big hole in that right side. First down for Winthrop. They've got some life at the Danvers 31, down by 15, halfway through the second quarter now. Heading toward halftime. Falcons on the far side. Not really a bench. They're all standing. Winthrop on the near side. Up the middle, I think it's Adamson. Line surge.
Wow.
Close to the 25.
Great second effort.
My. Yep, Adamson with the carry to the 26. Another 5-yard gain. So it's second and 5. So Winthrop showing a lot of grit, Paul.
Well, yeah, they got some momentum going here, mm-hmm. and they feel good about themselves. You can tell. Plus, they're taking up, eating up the clock, which is great.
Second and five on the near hash mark. One running back. Gets the handoff. Big hole left side, but stopped after a couple of yards. Oh, what a hit. Bang. And I can't see. That was Love. Looks like a 12. So it's at the 24. About a 2 yard gain. Third down. Four to go. Clock moving. Heading toward the 6 minute mark. And Winthrop, very deliberate, getting the plays, using up the play clock, working
in
the huddle.
Using all, you know, three downs to mm-hmm. get these first downs.
So the wing is off to the left. That's Love off to the left. I can see that. Handoff on the run play. And breaking a tackle. I thought he was going to be stopped for a loss. Gets a yard or two. It'll be fourth down.
Well, the Rocket and the Jet, a slot back or wing back on Jet. Before the ball is snapped, he runs along the line of scrimmage as fast as he can. The ball is snapped when he's just beyond the quarterback, and he's really running towards laterally towards the sideline to outrace the defense to get upfield. A rocket is where the ball, he goes in motion deeper, and the ball is pitched to him, but he's going in motion at full speed.
Okay, thank you. Fourth down. Fourth and four. Winthrop, run play. Nope, not going to do it. Stacked up on that right side, and with a tremendous shore tackle. Was that number 57? Yep, it was Romanigou. And so, Romatigue. Looks like Romanigou. Romatigue. I beg your pardon. My bad. Anyway, another nine-play drive for Winthrop. Stalls at the 24. And Danvers takes over. 5:03 left to go in the half. Falcons starting at their own 24, already leading 15-0. Dillon in the backfield, man in motion. Hand off to the tailback, across, well, out to the 30.
Yeah, just Danvers is getting a push now. Push off the line of scrimmage, and the running back is, you know, before he gets hit, he's already gained positive yardage.
Matt McCarthy carried it out to the 31, so it's almost a 7 yard gain. Trying to see here, 16 and 26, 42, 50, 51, nope. Flag flies as the play gets underway, and good yardage for Danvers on the run play as Holland carried it out, what would be a first down, out to the 37.
Oh, they're going to call offsides. Yeah. They went in motion the other way, and this outside linebacker on this side,
well,
like he was going to blitz, but he blitzed too quickly.
So Holland gets it out to the 39 on the 8 yard gain, and it's a first down. They'll decline the penalty, of course. One receiver out wide to the right. And this is a fake run. Pass complete at the 48 yard line, and breaking tackles and out of bounds is Dillon. That thing looked pretty.
Well, you know, they're all thinking run, and then all of a sudden that play action pass is tough.
17 yard gain, ball at the Winthrop 44, just inside the 4 minute mark as Dillon went out of bounds to stop the clock. Good luck. Take care, Matt. Matt Andreas up here. We were going to talk with him at halftime, but he's heading out nursing a knee injury. So here's a run play, and McCarthy gets a positive yardage on the run play to the 39.
also have 50-50 raffles tonight.
Second and five for Danvers. Coakley back into the game at tailback. Danvers at the line of scrimmage with the man in motion. Coakley the handoff. Runs to the right, finds a big hole, scoots through to the 30, to the 25, breaks a tackle to the 20, cuts it outside, carrying tacklers down to the 15-yard line. Coakley is a force. First and 10 from the 15. And Coakley has carries of 19 yards. He's got a carry of 10 yards, carry of 4 for the touchdown. And he's got this one for 24 yards. All positive yards and only carried the ball like 5 times. Man in motion. Hand off, same play, different running back to the 10, to the 5, breaking tackles and carrying forward is Colby Holland inside the 5-yard line. Just off tackle once again. Right side. Is that the 5? 4, okay. First and goal from the 4 at the near hash mark. Danvers starting this drive at their own 31. This will be the 7th play of this drive. They've scored on their first 2 possessions. And they're knocking on the door once again. First and goal from the 4. Tailback is Holland. And same play. Running to the right. Crashes it down to the goal line. And in. Another touchdown by Danvers. And they lead 21-0.
Oh, you're right, Rick. It's the same play over and over and over again, and nothing special, just off tackle. And Winthrop just doesn't have the capability of stopping it.
So Holland adds to the scoring. Another 4-yarder. And let's see. This is, what do we have here? 8 plays and 76 yards. With 2:23 left to go, first half. Just trying to get the yardage here. Oh, 76, 183. No, 185. So we're in the middle of a timeout right now, and Danvers comfortably in front, 21-0. Winthrop has put together some nice sustained drives, but just don't have that that final oomph to finish them off.
No, they almost have to do everything perfect to keep the ball moving, and that's a lot to ask.
Well, 185 yards of offense right now to 56 for Winthrop, and that, you know, usually stats don't tell a story, but that pretty much indicates the how the field is tilted, I think. And same play over and over and over again, just run to the right. And they'll line up for 2 points once again, Danvers leading 21-0. This is shotgun. And penalty, play stops before it actually gets underway, so Adamson was in the shotgun that time looking to pass. Two more games tomorrow. Bishop Fenwick at Hamilton Wenham. It's a 2 o'clock start here on MSO. That'll be on Channel B. Beverly at Lynn English tomorrow night. That will be on Channel A. As we open up the high school football season, of course, over on Channel A right now, Medford. Medford at Lynn Classical in the opener over at Penning Field. So another wait. These extra points, Paul, take longer than
that. They run a lot of, they do the water bucket, and then they run conventional plays. But you're right, it does seem to take a long time to figure out, well, it's maybe personnel, you know, getting the right personnel.
Well, been a lot of timeouts. I mean, it just slowing. Okay, so once again, shotgun, rolling to his right, wide open, 2-point, and another penalty. So Reedy got the pass. Wide open, actually. Looked like he tried to keep his feet in bounds. Mullaney with the toss.
The only thing I can think of is it they may have picked a defender for Winthrop.
So we wait the extra point again. We've been about 5 minutes here waiting for this extra point. All right, so it looks they're going to bring it back. Illegal procedure against...
Really?
Against
it seemed like the flag
Danvers.
Was late.
Yeah, very. It was thrown after the catch.
Right. So
weird. Very strange. And
yeah, but the flag was thrown way after the touchdown.
Not only that, but where are they putting the ball? For a 5-yard penalty? Where is it? Okay, it's out of the... Okay, I see. I was looking where the where Danvers was huddling up, thinking, man, it was way back there. So the drama continues on this extra point. 21-0, Danvers on top, and we can't get this extra point decided one way or the other. This will be the third or fourth attempt. I lost track. So once again, Mullaney is in the pistol. Gets the snap, rolls to his right. Shoots it. Nope. Fakes it, runs, and is stopped. So we finally get some closure on this extra point. It fails. Goodness gracious. So it's 21-0, and the
now
scoreboard
becomes
up.
The real hard. You know, you got 2 minutes and 23 seconds left, and Winthrop gets the ball back, and, you know, you obviously want to score or try to score, and, you know, you're far behind, but you just really don't know what plays you can call that you can execute.
Well, you know, I hate to say, you know, mismatch, but, again, Winthrop with a limited number of players. Danvers, pretty good-sized school. And just by the fact, I mean, I never heard of Division VI before, but Winthrop is playing in Division VI now. And
can't get much smaller.
Well,
than
I don't
that,
know.
I would assume.
It's got to be, and I don't know what their numbers are at the school, but they have a very, very small number of players and a lot of freshmen on the team. So it's hard for the Vikings to match up against, you know, some of these bigger schools. And that's the cycle, Paul. It goes up and down, you know.
You're right. You're right, Rick.
Danvers has had its years struggling, as every team in the conference has. And they've had their years on top. And right now, up 21-0 over a very gritty Winthrop team. 2:23 left to go first half. And here's a long, high, end-over-end kick. Comes down to the 5. And it's going to be turned by Small up the middle to the 10. Out to the 20 and stopped right there at the 20. First and 10 for Danvers for Winthrop at their own 20. I'm Rick Moore along with Paul Ingram, and we'll have another game tomorrow. And Paul, of course, will be with Marty next Friday night for the Beverly-Gloucester game up at Newell Stadium, and that will be a video game as well. We'll have that on video. So Winthrop starts. They don't have 100 yards of offense just yet. They start at their own 22. 2:16 left to go. First half down by 21 points.
Right. They just, you know, they really...
Run play off to the right, gets nothing.
They have a formation. It's basically a wing T formation. And they only run a couple of wing T plays, though. They run the down and the fullback trap. And the sweep is a great play. It's tough to stop. They just have... It's like a limited wing T offense that they're running.
1 yard gain. Second and 9. And we are sort of blowing through the...
Well,
2 minute warning.
Even Winthrop's taking its time calling the plays so they don't give the ball back.
All right. Falcons keeper. I'm sorry, Vikings keeper. Adamson across the 30, close to the first down.
Well, that was a jet. So they've had success on that. And there are plays you can run off. It's not like you're just stuck with that mean in motion, it's always the same thing. You can run trap off it, you can run reverse off it, you can run passes off it.
Well, that was Hubert then, not Adamson. If it were the jet, that was a handoff. They get the first down. Out to the 32. First and 10. Clock moving. 59 seconds left to go. Breaking through. Look at this. Out to the 40-yard line. Another good run play by Winthrop. Who is the number? That's Hubert again? Love gets the carry. So now we're down to 43 seconds. And about a yard to go for the first down with the ball at the 41. 43 seconds left to go, and Viking is keeping it on the ground. See if we can thumb through the scores here at halftime while we take a break and see if I can. I can't figure this Twitter thing out, can you?
No.
Kearns rolls through it. He gets a million scores, and I go to it, and like my last out, I'll hit update. And it says, latest tweets and so on, 12 hours old, 13 hours old. And then so I take it, and Bill looks at it, and Bill punches it, and he says, no, that's 1 minute. What are you talking about? Watch. I'm going to do it right now.
I have no idea.
It's Ghost in the Machine.
Well, Kearns has got a lot of time on his hands.
Not 58 seconds. Look at that. How about that? Salem leading 13-8 over Austin Prep after one. How about that? Scoreboard update brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. But here, 43 seconds left to go, and Winthrop, I'll tell you, they could have just sat on the ball and tried to run the clock out. They're moving forward, starting at their own 23, with just 2:16 left to go in the half. All right. Sweep to the right this time on the run play. Cuts it outside, can't turn the corner, stopped at the 42, maybe a one-yard gain. Sheehan with the carry. And I think, well, the clock is still moving. So it's at the 42 second and 9. They got third and 1. I'm sorry. So it is third and 1. My bad. I thought it had been a first down. Oh, it is a first down. Okay. Gets the first down. Yep. So the ball is at the 42. It only needed the yard. And he got it. 30 seconds left to go. First half, Danvers up 21-0. Winthrop with the ball at their own 42 on the far hash mark. At Dr. Deering Stadium, we're all trying to look out the same window here. Danvers Falcon band, it's got more people in it than both teams combined, I think.
They've been keeping that up for a long time.
Yeah, it's tremendous.
Band. Look at the numbers.
Yeah. They're still coming. They've already wrapped halfway around the field. Reminds me of the old Salem Ken Perrone coach teams when they come to a game, remember?
Yeah, 105 players
dressed. All right, so now it is first and 10, 37 seconds left to go. Run play up the middle, I heard a whistle, but play gets yardage to the 45. Field small. Right to the 45, right on the 45. And now it's second down and about 6 to go for the first down, but clock is stopped. Somebody called timeout. Winthrop, thank you. Like this field, Paul? Nice setup?
I do. Yeah, it is nice. I was trying to remember, though, when we were here on Thanksgiving morning where the sun was.
It was over here.
It was over there.
I think so. Okay. I don't know the orientation of. I think it was over off to our left. Was it a?
The only thing is with these new fields, they put in an 8-lane track, mm-hmm. So you're really set back.
Yeah,
on
this
the
one.
Field.
Yeah. Gloucester we're way back.
The same thing, depending upon the size or width of the track.
Mm-hmm. So we had a timeout. Now 28 seconds left to go. Winthrop had called a timeout. Still trying to get on the scoreboard. Still trying to bust one. Second and 6 at their own 46. Wing off to the right with the man in motion. Adamson wants to throw, and he's running for his life out of bounds and gets about a yard. Oh, I'm sorry. He loses a couple of yards. He was at the 45, so push it back to the 43. Loses a couple. And now it'll be third and eight. Still 22 seconds remaining in this first half. We were going to talk to Matt Andreas, former captain and Mr. Everything for Danvers from last year. But he had to leave, and we wish him well. They're home from school down in Stetson. They evacuated, and kids were sent home. The school is closed for an indeterminate amount of time, of course, with Irma down there. 22 seconds left to go. Adamson under center with the man in motion. Back. Oh, there's a handoff to the fullback. And he,
it's the old fullback.
Trap, is it? What, I mean, fullback. What do you call it? Draw. Fullback. I couldn't think of the word.
The quarterback passes the fullback on the way back, and it's called the wraparound draw.
Fullback draw out to the 50, 7-yard gain. And now it is fourth down and about 2 yards to go, but time expires, and that's the end of the first half. So it's a good
I
first half.
I think they're going to let him play one more play.
Yeah, there's a timeout. All right. So it is a timeout. We'll keep it. One more play. It is fourth down and two to do some housekeeping right at the 50. And I'm trying to see here. Winthrop has gotten down as far as the Danvers 24-yard line. That's as close as they've gotten to the end zone. Coach Driscoll out on the field, looking over toward Joe Donovan, asking for how much time is on the clock. That's what he's asking. Did they tell you nine? Yeah. I think that's what Coach Driscoll was doing. And they're not disagreeing with you. Winthrop huddled up at the 40-yard line, right on the numbers on this side. Danvers out in the middle of the field.
Well, if they throw a Hail Mary, I would throw it away from Coakley.
Yeah, yeah. And Coakley's back 5, 10, 15, almost 20 yards off the line of scrimmage in deep safety, twin safeties. I don't know if you have time to throw a Hail Mary with a rush, but okay. Adamson looking under tremendous pressure, and he goes down right at the 50. So that's it. Now the half is over. And at the half, score from Dr. Deering Stadium here in Danvers. It is the Danvers Falcons 21 and the Winthrop Vikings 0. We'll be back.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your place. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your place.
MSONewsSports.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at MSO News Sports or on Facebook. And you can always email us at MSONewsSports@gmail.com.
All right, we're at the half. We do have some scores. I figured out some of the Twitter, Paul. But in this one, at Danvers, it's 21-0 with the Falcons leading this thing. They're putting up a stage out there. Do we have that? Are we live on video right now? They got a stage out there. This is like halftime at the Super Bowl. Oh, boy.
I think I see Beyonce.
That's cool. So, Gloucester's leading 29-0 over Revere. Wow, thank you.
5:15 left in the third.
Good heavens.
What's the score?
I got the Twitter going here. Don't make fun of me now. And that's in the third. Gloucester leads Revere 29-0 in the third. D'Agostino, was it? Argentino with the latest touchdown. So we'll go over the scores in a minute, but let's go over the scores in this one. 21-0 as Danvers is leading this thing. They broke open the scoring with a six-play, 82-yard touchdown drive in the first quarter on their first possession. 2:07 left to go in the first, leading 8-0 as it was Justin Mullaney from 42 yards away. And as I said, six plays, 82 yards. On their second possession to open up the second quarter, second play, Taj Coakley from 4 yards out, three plays, 27-yard touchdown drive. That was 15-0 again, second play of the second quarter. And then on their third possession, they've scored in every possession, it was Colby Holland from 4 yards out, finishing off an eight-play, 76-yard touchdown drive with 2:23 left to go in the half. And after three or four attempts at the extra point, it failed. And that's where the score remained at 21-0. So if you're watching this, very impressive. Danvers band out in the middle of the field with a stage set up for the plugged-in part of it. My, my. 185 yards of offense for Danvers in that first half, 84 for the Winthrop Vikings. And that just kind of tells the story. Winthrop with some good effort, obviously, on offense and defense, but just being outmatched right now by Danvers. Not a lot of mistakes by either team either, just a couple of penalties.
You know, if you go in at halftime, you know, what Winthrop's got to try and do is, you know, at least stop Danvers running off tackle, because it's been the same play over and over, and they haven't been able to stop it yet. And some kind of adjustment, either blitz into the hole or somehow close down that hole. But in offensively, they just got to play perfect offense. I mean, they just can't lose yardage. They've been able to gain yardage, but they just can't lose yardage.
Yeah.
They can't have negative plays.
I hear a saxophone that's overpowering everything with a mix. Mercy. Oh, the Saxes are all up front. Okay, well, that explains it. Whew. All right, so I think what we'll do, Paul, is take another break, then we'll check the scores that we have and see what's out there.
Join the band. It's really a beautiful band. I mean, they really do such a great job.
Absolutely. Okay, we'll be back.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. If you're thinking of replacing the windows in your home, you should look at the Anderson Woodwright double-hung insert window, which comes with rich wood interiors in oak, pine, or maple. Quite simply, Anderson is the most trusted window in America. That's why we've been selling them for 57 years. Please see the Anderson Woodwright windows on display at any of our three locations in North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Harrington's Trophy and Awards has been rewarding the North Shore for over 25 years. Hi, I'm Kevin Harrington.
And I am Marty Harrington, and we are known for our local family business, providing custom trophies, plaques, screen printing, embroidery, and much more. We offer a variety of services such as engraving wedding gifts, medals for charity walks, youth sports trophies, and uniforms. From the newest style performance wear to your everyday work shirts, we are your one-stop shop. Whether it's a fantasy football, warm-up suits for your team, end-of-the-year banquet gifts, or recognizing excellence, we pride our business on our exceptional customer service and quality products. Located in Lynn, or visit our website at harringtontrophy.com.
The Gloucester House Restaurant at historic Seven Seas Wharf, 63 Rogers Street, Gloucester. This is owner Lenny Linquata.
We provide service and product better than anybody else. It comes directly from our boats right to your plate. We have fishermen that work great for us. We are wholesalers that we buy what we want to serve to our customers, and we put the rest of it right out in the market.
The Gloucester House Restaurant. Visit thegloucesterhouse.com.
This is the freshest seafood you can get from our boats to your plate.
MSONewsSports.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at MSONewsSports or on Facebook. And you can always email us at MSONewsSports@gmail.com.
Tremendous performance by the Danvers High School Band. They are leaving the field under a tremendous round of applause. And Danvers leading at the half 21-0. Now, we do have some scores to pass along, and, of course, our scoreboard updates this season will be brought to you by Moynihan Lumber of North Reading, Beverly, and Plaistow, New Hampshire. So the scores as we have at Ipswich is leading Essex Tech by a score of 14-0 at the half. Salem over Austin Prep, 13-8. That was still in the second. Reading leading Wakefield, 21-7. That was in the second. Linfield over Newburyport, 13-0, also at halftime. Gloucester in the third quarter. Bit of a surprise to me in this score. They're out in front 29-0 over Revere. And at the half, Marblehead is leading Triton 8-3 in a tough one. And a score in from volleyball, a big game for the Danvers Falcons volleyball team. They win over Peabody 3-2. So that's the scores as we have it. And touchdowns in this first half by Danvers, Justin Laney from 42 yards away, Taj Coakley from 4 yards out, and Colby Holland also from 4 yards out. Now, they're disassembling the stage out of the middle of the field. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, at least a dozen people out there disassembling this thing. There's even more people behind it. I guess it shows you how amazing the halftime shows are in college and the pros. Next week, Danvers will be traveling to Peabody. That will be a Friday night game at 7, and Winthrop will be at Medford. The Danvers-Peabody game will be on MSO, and also we'll be doing the Beverly-Gloucester game. That one will be live streaming video next week. Bishop Fenwick is at Hamilton Wenham tomorrow. That's a 2 o'clock start here on Channel B, and Beverly is at Lynn English playing at Manning Field. That's a 7 o'clock game over on Channel A. That is tomorrow's lineup. And next week we've got, how many more games do we have next week? We've got three? 1, 2, 3 next weekend as well. So, Phil, why don't you do your duty here? Been a while. Phil Brody joins us now. What's this fingers designation? Phil Fingers Brody of MIA taking care of the scoreboard clock here.
Well, some of my co-officials say I work magic on the clock.
Ah.
So they call me Fingers.
Okay.
Used to be Fast Fingers.
Okay, well, there
maybe
was
not tonight.
Thunder Fingers with John Entwistle of The Who.
Right.
His fingers never touched the guitar. He just scared the notes into coming out. But, yeah, I see you doing that over here. Now, what happens when you're off a little bit, like tonight, is it, who keeps the clock on the field? Is it the referee?
It's usually the back judge will keep the clock.
The back judge.
That would be Mark Dillon.
Okay.
Yeah, in the case of the reset, what I was focusing on was Pat McAndrews on the far end of the field had called had signaled timeout.
Okay, he's a linesman today.
Meaning that they had made the yard, made the first down.
Okay.
So the clock stops.
Clock stops.
And the ball is set. And then when the referee, Joe Donovan, winds up to start the clock again. So I really don't know the... Somewhere they said there were 7 seconds that shouldn't have ticked off the clock. So, but I'll talk to him about that after the game. And you know,
I'm sure you will.
And at the end of the at the end of the half, our rule of thumb is there's either 2 seconds on the clock or there's no time.
Okay.
The reason being is that you wouldn't be able to get a playoff in 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why at the very end I set it at two seconds. Pretty, you know, well-balanced game in the sense that Winthrop's gritty. They just can't crack into the red zone. That's what...
Well, you know, Paul and I were just talking. Winthrop is in Division 6, which I had never heard of before.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at, you know, I just got to tell you, you got a freshman who's 5'4", 110.
Right.
You got a freshman 5'6", 135. You've got a freshman 5'3", 110. A freshman 5'3", another one 5'10". A 110 rather, freshman 5'8", 155. Bobby Hubert, he's playing, okay.
Right.
But so you don't have guys who can come in and fill in for you. But even the guys who are playing, you know, 155, 155 in the backfield. The biggest guy they have is Kadena, 5'9", 175. I'm just trying to Sheehan, tight end, 5'10", 200. He is the biggest guy up on the line. Teixeira, they got one guy. Well, actually, Tufta too. They've got a couple of guys up front who are big, but. But the fill-ins, I mean, you know, 150, 140, 145, 150.
Right.
So you can't – these guys are out there all the time.
Right. It's more baptism under fire right now. So, you know, they're going to go through – this is – they're grinding their teeth or cutting their teeth right now. And, you know, this should play out, you know, to their advantage in the future.
Oh, yeah.
That they're getting it. But, yeah, I see what – I know what you're saying about – somewhat of a division mismatch. They're more competitive playing the Salems and the Saugus and being in that division. I believe Medford is in that tier too. So,
well, you know, it's amazing to me, Phil, because you look at school like you know, Manchester. Manchester has to play the town, you know, some of the big teams like Georgetown and these other schools.
Exactly.
And then you see. You know, Rockport, not in football, obviously, but Rockport does the same thing, and they play Masconomet, you know, in soccer and stuff. It's like, holy rollies, there's got to be a way to figure this thing out. And I know that enrollment rolls. My thing has always been, I want a Super League of the Cape Ann League. That's what I want. I want the Cape Ann, the old NEC, and the Cape Ann League to somehow put together a Super League and maybe three tiers of that, you know, because it would just make sense geographically. The setup of the Northeast Conference right now, is mind-boggling to me.
Right, right. You know, with the addition of Somerville, Medford, and Malden, from an official's point of view, we're not sure what tier is, who's against who, and, you know, you have Malden that has been competing against Everett for years and is coming in. They're going to be a formidable opponent in this league.
Big school, yep. And that, not only that, but I mean, you know, for Winthrop to travel to Gloucester, that's a trip. For Gloucester to travel to Winthrop, that's a trip. But they're used to it. That's what they do. But you don't want to go to Somerville and Medford and Malden. You know, it's a Revere might. You know, they're out there. Saugus, that would make sense. But that's not how they have it. So it's just screwy. It is crazy.
Right. I think from the official standpoint that we've looked at with this addition, I mean, it's nice that we have three more teams. But, you know, some of the guys that are, you know, are working and have to go to get to a Somerville, if you're trying to get from an Andover to a Somerville on a Friday night.
Traffic. Hello.
You know, you sort of talk to some folks and say, could you switch off with me? There's no way that, unless you leave work at 1 o'clock, I'll be there on time.
So. Denver's is coming back onto the field. Do you have to do any off-season studying, any off-season courses for this, any updates?
Well, the main focus has been concussion this year, and... So we have to take a test on that. As far as rules,
but you're not on the field anymore, are you?
No,
but you
still
keep up with it.
I still have to take.
Oh, okay, I got you.
As a certified official,
gotcha.
I still have to.
Okay.
The biggest thing that they're doing this year is they have blocking below the waist, and it sort of has to be head on, and they really, it was sort of a loosey goosey rule in the sense that nobody really defined it. This year they defined it. I would probably say in a few years there's not going to be any blocking below the waist, which would make it easy for the officials and the safety of the players.
Well, this this concussion thing is bothersome, troublesome, worrisome, serious.
All four.
And in all levels of sport, but in particular, I would think in high school, the collision sports like hockey, soccer. You wouldn't think it's a collision sport, but it is.
Right.
And football.
Girls' soccer is number two.
Yeah, I understand. The girls are having girls' sports in high school are having a tremendous statistical surge with ACL problems.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's curious.
Right. Yeah, that I'm not really familiar with. I just know on the concussions, when they listed the top 10 sports, I sort of figured, you know, football, and I thought maybe soccer would be second, but, you know, it was soccer was sort of in the third tier. It was football, hockey, so forth and so on. And, you know, all the protection, the helmets, the hip pads and whatever in football are mind-boggling how efficient they are right now as opposed to years ago.
Oh, yeah. And the helmet, I mean, the technology of the helmet is very, very protective, but... You know, you hit your head on that ground, man.
Right.
Fortunately, in football, in high school, you don't see, thank God, and I hope I don't jinx anybody anywhere, you don't see helmet to helmet. I mean, the kids are just taught, don't do that, for God's sakes. Obviously, college and beyond, you do. So mainly the concussions come inadvertently when there's helmet to helmet or when their head hits the turf.
Right, right. You know, even by accident, you know, going helmet to helmet. Mm-hmm. So we're well versed on watching the player see what and any sign, even on a contact like that. We go right to the coaches on the sideline and say, take him out for a play or look at him first, him or her, and you know, look at this player first, because you know of the not so much the. The potential liability in the sense of injury. So, you know, we don't want anybody coming out there that is slightly injured or could get seriously injured.
Yeah, no more rub some dirt on it and shake it off and put the
exactly.
swelling socks on it.
Exactly.
All right, Bill, you got to get back to work, so do I. Thank you.
Appreciate it,
brother.
My pleasure.
And thank you for all your help, as always.
My pleasure.
Maybe you can put that back on somehow. I don't know. It slipped off. So we get ready for the second half. I'm Rick Moore, along with Paul Ingram and our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky. Danvers leading comfortably 21-0, and the Falcons will be getting the ball to start the second half. When you get comfortable, you can join in. Take your time. No problem. I'm not surprised. I'm happy to report that Winthrop has drawn a tremendous amount of people here. They're filling up the whole third of the stands off to the right. No, you just
the place
heard.
Is really packed, Rick. I just walked all the way down.
It's like Thanksgiving.
Right, it's a huge crowd.
PA announcer Sean Daugherty just announcing the girls' volleyball win over Peabody. Big win for the program, 3-2 over the Tanners today. And our scoreboard updates are brought to you all season long by Moynihan Lumber of Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire. Moynihan Lumber.
Ran into a former player I had back in the early 80s, Scotty Pike, who was working in there. And
is that right?
Yeah, it's so funny. I asked him how old he was. He said 55. Oh, my gosh.
I don't want to tell you how old my first class is. I can't. Nope, not going to do it. Not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent. All right, here we go. Winthrop will be kicking off from right to left. Into the night, and where is the ball? It's a low kick that's going to, Holland is going to chase out of bounds at the 13-yard line. So we'll do that again. Yeah, my first class, the first class I taught, they're almost as old as I am now, so it's kind of weird. Really strange. But you know, Paul, I was talking with Coach Pugh, I almost said Masconomet, but he's over at Hamilton-Wenham, and how... how large a geographic area it is, but how small a sports community is. I mean, Coach Pugh knows everybody at Danvers. He knows him in Beverly, knows him up at Masco, you know, and he's got coaches he's recommend. And you know coaches in Beverly and Marblehead
you know,
and
I come from the Cape, and to go to another game down the Cape, I mean, you could only go to one other game, and you got to get there. I mean, you have to leave an hour to get there.
Yeah.
Where down here, you can go to four or five games in a night if you really want to.
You can see several games on a weekend easily. But this one is really well attended. Paul was outside, and I'm telling you, this is like a Thanksgiving crowd. This is amazing tonight. And Winthrop traveling very, very well. They're really well well supported. So we'll kick off again, this time from the 35, after the penalty has been assessed against the kickoff team. Vikings kicking off. This is an onside kick that goes out of bounds at the 47. I think it was an onside kick.
I believe it was.
Yeah. So, like the extra point attempt for Danvers a while back, this kickoff team having trouble getting on track as well. We've been here about 5 minutes in the second half. The clock hasn't moved. Well, I would, yeah. They have that option. Phil's telling me that Danvers has the option to take the ball at the 49-yard line, and they will. Why not? All right, so Falcons will start the second half at their own... No, there was a penalty on top of that. They're at the plus five, so it must have gone out of the 50, and it's at the 45. So ball starting at the Winthrop 45 to start the second half. My. Well, that's something I'm sure that Coach Driscoll will work on. Now we have a timeout. Danvers. So Danvers takes first timeout of the second half. So we're not going to get the second half clock to move. So the last 2 minutes of the first half and the first minute here of this second half, taking about an hour and a half to get underway. Okay, ball is on the far hash mark. It is at the Winthrop 45, and now Danvers breaks the huddle and comes out. Here we go. All right, so one receiver, I think that's Coakley, who split wide to the right. And he goes straight downfield, back to pass Mullaney, shoots it for Coakley, got it easily at the 30, fingertip catch, and got out of bounds at about the 27-yard line. Almost too easy. Mullaney to Coakley, first down. I think the penalty came after the reception, after the hit. Ball is at the 27, I think.
Again, that's a physical mismatch. Coakley's probably 6'2", 6'3", and defensive back look around 5'9", 5'8".
Nice fingertip catch, too, Paul. What are you talking, you know, the...
No, timing throw. And
thumbs up, thumbs down. Another long discussion. We've played 8 seconds so far in the second half. And real time has been about 15 or 20 minutes. Coach Driscoll on the field talking to referee Donovan. And there was a penalty, but we did not get...
Yeah, he did give this unsportsmanlike
call. Oh, okay. And that's why Coach Driscoll was waving one of his players off the field. Oh, man. Well, so that's going to push the ball down to the 14. One play so far in the second half, and Danvers is at the Winthrop 14-yard line. Again, Coakley is split to the right. This time it's a handoff, hauling around the right side, and he's going to spin another penalty, and Holland goes down close to the goal line, and there's another flag. This is just, it's getting away, man. This is getting away. Colby Holland with the carry all the way down to the one. I don't know what's going on, but it is ugly. Where's the white hat? Well, the ball will be at the one, or closer, depending on how many penalties are assessed against whom. Coach Driscoll again. Talking to the officials. Boy, this is just like the clutch is burned out. The car ain't moving. Waiting for some kind of decision. We've got four officials conferring.
I believe one was a dead ball.
Well, one of them is against Danvers. Holding on Danvers. Personal foul on Danvers. They're going to step off both of them?
Well, I think one happened after
the that's right, dead ball. So that's the ball comes from the one-yard line out to the 35. Wow. So that's a 34-yard penalty after the play. 34-yard penalty. Cowabunga. In essence. I've never seen that, Paul. I haven't seen a double penalty like that. Haven't seen it.
It's all because it was...
dead ball.
Dead
yeah.
ball.
After the initial... But I still haven't seen it. Wow. Well, that's a break for Winthrop. But... Coach, referee Donovan yelling at the Winthrop players to get behind the white line. And need to
I think he's
dial it back a little bit here.
Right. Well, one of the coaches, I think, is.
Yeah, it's started nasty here in the second half. Coakley again, split to the right. Two running backs in the eye, set up behind Mullaney. Hand off to the tailback. And I think it's Holland. Gang tackle, driven back after he gets it to about the 33.
Well, they blitzed into that was the exact same play again. That off tackle to the right. And it appeared that Winthrop may have blitzed into it.
3 yard gain for Holland.
You know, football is a game of counterpunching. You know, they do this, we do that.
It's second and goal from the 31. Can they get a first down?
Yeah.
Apparently, okay. All right, need to get to the 3 or the 4, so it's 2nd and 28. Same formation with Coakley, the split end. And it will be a play action. Rolling to his left is Mullaney. Shoots it over the head of the intended receiver. Wasn't really open with Zach Dillon, so that's an incompleted pass. Roll out to the left. Tough pass throwing across your body like that. He's a right-handed thrower running hard to the left.
Here's another flag.
Another one. What the bozo. Against Ambers. Waiting to see what this one is. This one. Coach Driscoll's going to turn it down, whatever it is. Yep. Ineligible. No, that's, yeah, ineligible. Yep. Turn it down. So it's third down and 28. And Danvers, Paul, making a mess here to start this third quarter.
What happens is they lose focus. The game is, it seems too easy. You know, and then you come out and you kind of lost focus. And
all right, so now we're going to have trips to the right. Shotgun. Coakley is way out to the left. Holland's going to go over there, split out further on the left side. So twins left, twins right. One running back in the backfield with Mullaney. He's rolling to his right. Steps up to the 35. Throws it across the field to an open man. That could have been intercepted. It's incomplete at the 10.
Didn't look like he went for the ball, Rick.
What's that?
It didn't look like the defender went for the ball.
No. It went right past him. That could have been intercepted and a lot of yardage for Winthrop. Right through the hands of Holland. He just kind of screened him. But it's incomplete at any rate. And then quarterback Mullaney had to throw that thing about 40 yards, 45 yards across diagonally across the field to get it to the 10. Now it's fourth down and 28. Weird series. All those kickoffs that failed. Danvers starts the drive at the Winthrop 45 after failed kickoffs out of bounds. Get down to the one. High snap. Good punt. Going to go into the end zone, methinks. No, it gets a roll back, and it's downed at about the three-yard line. Good special teams play by Danvers. So the Falcons end up with a net 13 yards. They get it down to the one-yard line, then double penalties push them way back outside the 35, and they end up punting. What a weird series that was. So Winthrop has to take their collective breath and see if they can get out again outside, away from the goal line. They're at their own three. They've started back there a couple of times tonight. Vikings moving from left to right as we start the second half. We've only played a couple of minutes in the second half so far. And there's no way I can see who the numbers are from this angle. It's a run play that's going to be a loss.
QB keeper.
Adamson. And, yep. Adamson keeps it and loses yardage. John Daugherty is saying, well, Coakley is not getting up, though. Coakley made the tackle, and he is being tended to by the trainer. By the Winthrop trainer, I think. And now the Danvers trainer comes over. So the clock has stopped at 9:02 to attend to Taj Coakley on the field. We're going to take a break, Coach. 9:02 left to go in the third quarter. Very, very slow-moving third quarter to get started. We'll be right back.
Ever wish that help with your business was as nearby as your next-door neighbor? At Cape Ann Savings Bank, we're the folks who have helped our neighbors build prosperous communities since 1846. And we invite you to give us a call, discuss your vision, and learn how we can help you grow your business. We're here for you. You have questions. We have answers. Just give us a call, 888-283-CASB, or visit CapeAnnSavingsBank.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
MSONewsSports.com is known for connecting North Shore sports fans with local sports newsmakers. Features on teams and players. Exclusive video interviews following the big games. Live event coverage such as high school football, basketball, hockey, and baseball. Live video coverage of the Gloucester Fiesta. MSO also connects you to the area news leaders, mayors, state representatives, state senators, town administrators, city and town elected officials, business leaders, and more. Entertainment features. Follow us on Twitter or Facebook at MSO News Sports. Email us at msonewsports@gmail.com. Leave a voice message anytime, 978-325-3638. Stay connected to your North Shore neighbors by simply clicking on msonewsports.com.
Well, Taj Coakley is up and walking off the field. Doesn't seem to be worse for the wear. Maybe favoring his left side a little bit?
Appears right near his hip, or I don't know if he's holding his arm in because of his shoulder, or he's holding it in because of his stomach.
Well, we'll see. If he comes back, he looks to be okay. Let's hope that that's the case. It is a violent game. Second down and 11 for Winthrop. They are at their own 2-yard line after the Coakley tackle. Another keeper, I believe, and it's going to be.
Yeah, it's like a quarterback draw, and they're really not.
Yep. Nowhere.
Right, they're getting no blocking.
Do they move it back or put it at the line of scrimmage? Back maybe half a yard? Right at the 2. Third down and 11. And Coakley being tended to over on the far bench. He's sitting down being looked at by the trainer. Clock is moving, blessedly. 8:05 left to go. Third quarter, 21-0. Danvers, all touchdowns in the first half. Mullaney, Coakley, and Holland for the Danvers Falcons. Third down and 11, ball midway between the hash marks, but again, Winthrop is at its own 2-yard line. rolling to his right. Pass is incomplete. That was just a
mess. Throwing the ball away. And
yep.
Yeah. Tried to run a bootleg, and the defense was right in his face. So this is, you got to be careful here as you're the punter that you don't step out of bounds. Usually it's 13 yards. The punter gets back.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the most he can get back is probably 11 yards. You don't want to stand right next to the line. You want to give yourself a little bit of room, so you give yourself about a yard from the end line.
Well, probably the most dangerous punt returner on the North Shore is not in the game right now. Coakley is not, but they've got more firepower than Danvers, and they've got a return man back at the Winthrop 32. Good heavens.
Oh, boy. Winthrop moved.
Delay game.
Boy, this is the longest 4 minutes.
Yep.
Gee, what a mess.
Yep. Yep. Motion penalty against Winthrop, so move it back to the one.
One of the things we used to do is not have our linemen put their hand down on the ground.
Because mm-hmm.
once your hand's down on the ground, you're locked in. You can't bring it up. So we wouldn't put our hand down on punt so we could move around a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we wanted to close our split or open our split depending on how the defense lined up.
I love it when you say that like I know what you're talking about. Yeah. That's pretty cool. I got it. Yeah. I'm always learning from you, Coach. You're always teaching. I didn't realize that. That certainly makes sense. It gives you a little bit of balance, too. Oh, a straight-up punt with a reverse roll. Going to be fielded by Holland at about the 22 and out of bounds. Good heavens. This is just the strangest third quarter. So we've got 196 yards of offense for Danvers, 84 for Winthrop. Taj Coakley out of the game, leading rusher to this point. Nobody really standing out in passing, but it's another short field for Danvers, and needless to say, you can't keep giving the Falcons a short field, especially when you're down by 21. Ball is at the 23-yard line of Winthrop. So Danvers has started the second half at the Winthrop 45, and now at the Winthrop 23. 7:38 left to go. I once again behind Mullaney, hand off to the tailback, and positive yardage inside the 20 to about the 24-yard line. McCarthy the carry.
What's strange about Danvers, the quarterback, is his when he gets the snap from the center, he's got his left foot probably 2 feet behind.
Yeah, it's like an open stance batting.
Yeah, Danvers
is like a left-handed batter.
That, you know, over the years, all their quarterbacks have done it, although they've had different quarterback coaches.
Yeah.
And
spins, handoff to the tailback, and this is positive yardage for a first down. McCarthy once again on the ground, and I think he's got the first down. He does.
You watch most every quarterback, their legs are parallel, so you can go right, left.
Yeah.
Back, right, back, left, straight back.
Well, he's like a left-handed batter with an open stance
facing
the pitcher with his hands under center. It's
there was one year that Danvers had a quarterback, and if he put his right foot back, the ball was going to the right, and he put his left foot back, and the key went around the league. And it was very, very predictable.
Run play, Holland. He's going to go into the end zone, I think. Yep, he's in. Holland picks up the 12 yards for the score, and it's now 27-0. Again, just a runoff to the right. And the Falcons increase the lead. Another three-play touchdown drive. Second touchdown for Holland tonight. 12 yards. The drive, three plays and 23 yards. 6:17 left to go third quarter. Just got a text from my wife who said she's watching the news and all of Florida is in trouble apparently from this hurricane.
Really?
All of Florida. Extra point is good, so now it's 28-0.
I That's a huge mess.
Yep. So we're glad that Matt Andreas is home, and hopefully all of his contemporaries at Stetson. Just a crazy thing with the big hurricane last week, and now another one, and then two more giant ones in the Atlantic coming.
Yeah, my brother-in-law lives in Jacksonville, and he's got a huge boat. It's on the intercoastal waterways, but I don't know if that makes a huge difference if it is or it isn't.
I don't know. My brother's in Cape Coral. He's on the west coast, and apparently the storm is so big it's going to hit everybody. Crazy. Right now it's calm here in Danvers. Overcast skies, 28-0, clear sailing for the Danvers Falcons in a bizarre third quarter. Scoring back in the first quarter was Mullaney from 42 yards out. Coakley, a four-yard touchdown. Holland, a four-yard touchdown. And now Holland gets another one, this time from 12 yards out. And the Falcons increasing their lead. 219 total yards for Danvers at this point. Another game for you tomorrow. Two games tomorrow on MSO. Spread the word. We've got North Shore Sports Night on Monday night. There's a short end-over-end kick. That's going to be a problem for the Vikings to handle. They do at the 36, I think. Kind of a little pop-up, and one of the short men had to go after it, dive after it to cover it up. So, ball is at their own 36 for Winthrop with 6:16 left to go, and I would expect Danvers will try to get some of its substitutes into the game, if they haven't already. And it looks like they have, looking at that those defensive numbers. Those are numbers we haven't seen tonight,
right,
for the most part.
The secondary looks new.
Yeah, whole new secondary, absolutely. And having a hard time. Yeah, it's almost everybody's new out there for Danvers. So Adams is in our center. He's got one running back behind him. He looks to the left, and he breaks a tackle. But he's going to be buried back at the 32. No chance. Line just collapsing in on him. They'll put the ball at the 33, three-yard loss. Trying to see some of the Danvers numbers, see if we can identify the players. Number one is Ezra Lombardi. He's a sophomore. Looks like 33 is out there, John Strange. Strange, a sophomore. At linebacker, Brendan Treacy, a junior out there. Direct snap, was that to the tailback?
No, I think it's the quarterback. It's a quarterback ISO.
Okay. Back in the shotgun, brings it out to the 37. Make it the 38. 5-yard gain. Third down. And 8 to go for the first down. Well, maybe 7. Maybe 6. We're actually going to put it at the 39. Don't let me influence you, Phil. Don't let me influence you. Please. All right, run play up the middle and pounding forward, line surge across the 45 to the 47, first down Winthrop. Was that the same thing, Adamson again?
Correct, yeah. Yeah, they're just running right at from a shotgun formation, running QB ISO.
Well, it's out to the 48, so that's almost a 9-yard gain. It'll be a first down for Winthrop with the clock moving. And again, now, all brand-new numbers out there for Danvers on defense. Winthrop doesn't have that luxury. They can't really substitute, Paul. They've got all freshmen.
You look at the sideline, you can see why.
We went over the numbers, and they're like 130 pounds, each of them. With the man in motion, handoff to the tailback, runs it right through the line, bounces off the tackle, bounces it outside, still running, close to the first down. Fetal small. Gets a first down. So the Danvers defense is getting some experience. Ball is at the 41. 9-2, 11-yard gain. And Winthrop getting some respect here with 3:50 left to go in the third quarter. Played hard, just outmatched in that first half. That the jet?
Yeah.
I didn't go.
Back missed his block. The lead back.
Mercy. Loss, big loss on that play.
They offset the fullback. The fullback doesn't line up behind the quarterback. He lines up to the side. The jet's going to run, which is kind of a giveaway if that play's coming.
Yeah, I think that was the end. Carrying the ball. I've totally lost my depth chart, and it's just all falling apart for me, too. Here it is. Sheehan, Brett Sheehan, I believe, carried. And it was a loss. Pass play. Oh, almost intercepted by Danvers.
Well, the receiver never looked back. By the time he looked back, the ball was already over his head.
With the incompletion, the ball is at the Danvers 46-yard line. And it's third down, 15. Bless you. Third and 15 from the Danvers 46. Winthrop with the ball. Clock stopped at 2:58 in the third. And we're approaching, we're about half, about quarter of nine. Ball on the near hash mark. Winthrop moving from right to left. That is Sheehan in motion. Rolling to his right is Adamson. Pass downfield, way overthrown at the 30-yard line. There were five Falcons back there and one Viking. So now it's fourth down. The clock stopped once again. We do have live programming on NSO. Twice a month we do live concerts from Greg Verga's Unfinished Music Studio. All the talent on the North Shore, it's amazing. We do Unplugged. We do bands come in, they plug in. We do it from 3 to 4 o'clock on a Wednesday, twice a month. It's really great. Met some tremendous talent.
So and Chelsea, is this their practicing? Is this what it is?
No, they come in to perform.
Oh, they do?
Yeah, they come in to perform their, and that's all original music, no covers. Adamson back to pass. Screen pass over the middle, complete, maybe got the first down. No, I'm just back to the original line. Forget about it. Sorry about that. They got five. It was complete, too small. But it ain't going to do it. 10 yards short. So the ball will be at the 41, and Winthrop has to give it up. Total of 26 yards on that possession for Winthrop, and they break the century barrier. They're at 109, and now have to work off their roster for Danvers as they take over at their own 41. And on Thursdays at 10 a.m. Connections, 11 a.m. rather, Thursdays Connections, we connect to everybody all over the country live. Or recorded. Man in motion is Lombardi. Hand off to the tailback, busting it outside, getting big yardage across the 50-yard line is Richard Canova, sophomore.
Boy, he looks like he's a senior. Big kid and runs hard.
He squared up, didn't he, on that tackle and just bowled over.
Certainly did.
Tackler. That's close to the
holding call.
Yeah. Forget about it. Bring it back. Abatessa is still at center, I think. I think I saw number 50 out there. Number 9 is out there. That's John Kelter. He's a sophomore. We don't have a complete roster from Danvers. There's an 85 out there. And you got one? I don't see an 85. You don't have it either. All right. Okay. Well, we can't identify him if he's not on the roster. I don't know who the quarterback is. We'll have to check that out as well. It's a keeper, and it's going to be a run play for big yardage. 45, 50, 45, and drop right there. Quarterback is Brendan Tracy. He is a junior. And he on the keeper gets a first down all the way out and down to the Winthrop 45. Down. 14-yard gain for the junior quarterback. Ball on the far hash mark. Down a minute and 47 seconds left to go in the third quarter. Danvers comfortably on top, 28-0. First and 10, pitch to the running back. And positive yardage across the 40. Once again, it is Canova with the carry, number 17 on your program. Inside the 40 to the 38. 7-yard gain. Second and 3. 1:10 left to go. Third quarter, ball in the near hash mark. Nobody leaving, everybody's still here. Band is having a break. They're going to get a snack. Brendan Tracy is the quarterback. Carter Dunkerley is the upback, the fullback. Handoff to the tailback. Wrapped up for a loss, I think. John Kelter, a sophomore, tackled back at the 40. 2-yard loss.
Well, at least they shut down the off tackle for a couple of plays.
Rolling down, 30 seconds left. Third quarter. Well, certainly a celebratory night for Danvers, pending the outcome of how Josh Taj Coakley is. I almost said Josh Coakley. You know Josh? Josh is a pilot, an Air Force pilot. Yeah, former student of ours. Yeah, good kid. You think he's a captain or a major now. Beautiful young family. And Taj Coakley hurt a little while ago, but he did go off under his own power. And off to the tailback once again. As the time expires in the third quarter, Kelter is tackled after about 5-yard gain to about the 35. So that will do it. After three, from Dr. Deering Stadium in Danvers, Danvers Falcon leading this thing by a score of 28-0. We'll be back.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender.
If you're thinking of replacing the doors and windows in your home, please visit the Door and Window Showrooms at any of Moynihan Lumber's three locations in North Reading, Beverly, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
Here from North Shore Newsmakers with two new shows on MSO. Thursdays, it's Connections. And Friday, Trending Now. And for our latest newscast and interviews, click on the 24/7 radio button on the top left of our webpage.
Well, thanks to Andrew DeCastro and all the streamography crew tonight as they're switching seats now. Two camera shoot. I can't wait to see it. We don't have a monitor up here. Fourth down for Danvers. I keep hearing a whistle every time the play starts. Pass play. It is complete at the 20-yard line. What number is that out there? That number two? Number three. All right. So Danvers gets the first down on the fourth down play. Tracy to Vargas. Eleven-yard gain. And they're at the 19-yard line on the far hash mark are the Falcons. Tracy, the quarterback now for the fourth quarter. I formation still. One man split out to the far side. Run play from the tailback. I think it's Kelter. Carrying tacklers to the 15. No, it's Canova again. Thought it was nine. Okay.
Well, they're doing a good job of alternating the younger kids in and giving them a chance to carry the ball and throw it.
Now, I'm going to say you had the luxury of doing that, Paul. I don't know if that's the right word to use, but it certainly helps from year to year, doesn't it, when you can put kids in?
It certainly helps in practice, excuse me, that the kids know that they might be playing in front of a big crowd,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they might get an opportunity, and they certainly want to do well.
There's a run play up the middle that's going to get pretty good yardage. Canova again on the 2nd and 7. There's a bug here that's just will not leave me alone. Ball is at the 11, it looks like, so about a 4-yard gain. And it is 3rd and 3 or 4, but we have an injury timeout on the field. One of the Vikings is down. And up. That's good. I'll see if I can do the Twitter thing again. God, here we go. Beverly Field Hockey wins 4-0 over Peabody today. School board brought to you by Moynihan Lumber. Run play, breaking tackles, going outside for the first down. Was.
No, he's going to be a back of the future.
Yeah, that's Canova again. So, first and goal from the 8, it looks like. They get it at the 5? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's at the 5. So Canova gets it down to the 5, 6-yard gain. First and goal. And Danvers taking its time in the huddle, of course. Gloucester final. Gloucester beats Revere 29-8. First and goal, stacked eye formation at the 5-yard line. Hand off to the tailback, drop for a loss that time. That was Kelter, sophomore with the carry. 11th play of the series coming up. Back to the 10, 5-yard loss. So Gloucester winning over Revere. 29-8 in its opener.
I was looking at the Gloucester Times, and I don't think Revere's ever beaten Gloucester.
Really?
In the last 10 years since they started playing them.
Again, a stacked eye. And handoff to the tailback. He's got some running room this time. Breaks the tackle at the 5, and he's going to be gang tackled at the 4. It's Kelter again. About a 6-yard gain. Coach Ciccatelli does a good job, though, Paul. So many of the he has the trouble with numbers, too. There's so many distractions, and kids don't come out for sports sometimes. He always gets off to a rough start, but then plays well after that. Or vice versa. They get a great start, and they fade. But, yeah, tough time against Gloucester. And that game was at De La Russo. Third down and goal from the 4-yard line for Danvers. 6:25 left to go. 28-0 Falcons up. I formation behind the quarterback. He's going to roll to his right. Looks to throw. Penalty marker down. Squirts into the end zone for what would be a touchdown. We'll see. Tracy scores from 4 yards out. But it's going to come back. Holding against Danvers. According to the man, Phil, fingers, Brody. It is holding against Danvers. Why would I ever doubt him? Do you ever have any coach, when you first started coaching, Paul, were the coaches, when you were head coach, first head coach, were the coaches on the other side, I don't know, but they everybody had more experience than you, but were the coaches that kind of befuddled you in terms of, you know, early on when you first started, you know, as a rookie? Because you had been coaching quite a while as an assistant.
I'm not sure of your question.
I'm not either. You know, it's late. It's been a long night. Forget I asked it. I forgot who I was talking to. Who'd you learn from, Paul? Who taught you when you were coaching? We'll pick it up in the next play here. Hold on. Third and 15. From the 15. Hold on 1 second here. It's a goal. Third and goal from the 15. So he's rolling. Tracy's going to be sacked back at the 24. But, I mean, you work with coaches who all over the place. You're in several different places.
I think I learned different things from different coaches.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I learned a lot about defense from Ernie Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I learned a lot about the passing game from Bob Yates.
Really? I didn't realize Yates,
yeah,
too. Okay.
You know, certain things, it's like any other thing. You have certain parts of the game that you really kind of excel at. It's like a teacher. You probably have certain, you know, lessons.
No, I didn't have any. But
but
you were a quarterback in college.
Yeah, you know, my college, really, I mean, college, we spent so much time at quarterback meetings. It's
41-yard field goal attempt. Hit the left crossbar.
It was good.
And it goes over. Zach Dillon. 41-yard field goal. How about that?
You know, I did learn a lot in college, obviously, about the fundamentals, too. Maybe not the total game plan like you did when you were coaching,
mm-hmm.
but certainly the fundamentals of the game. But, you know, quarterbacks would meet every day at lunch with the head coach and go over game plan. So, but I felt like, I thought Ernie Smith was a great linebacker coach, especially, and Bob Yates certainly developed that Cusimano-Palazzola passing attack, you know, at Gloucester, and he was my coach in high school too.
And that was down at Falmouth.
Correct. But also a guy I got to mention is Paul McGuire, who was at Saugus, but he was at Falmouth my freshman, sophomore, and junior years. He's the one that taught me, I thought the toughness and dedication related to football, and he also spent hours with me punting, and I appreciate that because I ended up punting in college that I never intended to.
That's funny how that works out. You know, it's funny, ball hits at the 30 on the return by the Vikings to the 40 and out to the 45, almost to the 50-yard line on the return. There was an article in the Gloucester Times today interviewing a lot of coaches about different aspects of the game and hot-button topics, I think they call it. Phil Stacey called it. And with the Salem News, Winthrop starting from their own 47, Danvers leading 31-0, 4 minutes to go. And they were talking about what's the most important thing, you know, quarterback, this, that, and the other thing.
I think I saw that.
And Brian St. Pierre, did you see what he said?
I don't remember.
Toughness. The most important thing for kids to have?
Yeah.
Toughness. I thought it might be self-discipline. Nobody said that. Talent, you know, coaching, toughness, St. Pierre said over at St. John's Prep. I guess it's football.
There's so many different types of toughness, too, though.
He said that. He said mental, physical. He said that.
Right.
3-yard gain, maybe a 2-yard. Yeah, 3-yard gain for Winthrop out to the 50. Small.
But you kind of get the feeling, you know, you could be here all night and Winthrop won't score.
Yeah. But to the coaching thing, Paul, I know that you work with so many guys on the same team. What did you learn from other coaches? Because I know that you met in clinics and stuff like that. But in the area, what did you pick up, if anything?
Well, I thought, you know, Kenny Perrone, I thought I learned a lot by watching his films and how he would get you in a position, you know, that you really, you know, you're saying, oh my God, he's got me outflanked or something, and he did a lot of unbalanced stuff, and he'd get you what we call outflanked is he'd have an extra guy outside of your guy, and which was an easy block, and just keep running the play to death, and then when you stop it, you have the good counter play, you know, and
Yeah, he was. I imagine a lot of people learned from him just watching what he did. And yeah, how do you keep up with it, Coach? Because I know.
Well, you go to clinics, and really, it's a copycat type of business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go to a clinic, and someone. And everyone tells you what they do. You can actually get playbooks of any college online.
3rd and 7 for Winthrop. On after no gain, roll out by the quarterback. Oh, he's stuck right at the 50. Again, no gain.
The thing is that they got a penalty flag, too. The thing is, too, is that, you know, it's the ability to teach it. You know, it's one thing to know it, but it's the ability to get the kids to do what you want. And ideas about practice time and practice management.
Got a big 15-yard penalty against Danvers. With 1:54 left in the game, Winthrop will get down to the 35-yard line. And we'll see if they can avert the shutout, but right now it's 31-0 Danvers with the clock moving. Kind of reminiscing here with Coach Ingram. I'm just amazed at how, again, this big geographic area, when it comes to sports, it's a backyard. Everybody just knows everybody.
Right, yeah.
Coaches, ADs, former players. It's amazing.
Well, I think it used to be even more so because we were all teachers. But
yeah.
I don't know, Rick. I mean, if you and I want to look and see how many coaches are teachers and, you know, what kind of do they really see the kids? In school, do they have any idea what's going on?
Yeah,
in school?
It's a real bonus when you have someone in the building.
It really is.
As a coach. 1 minute left to go in this game, 31-0, Danvers. Falcons, as we said, will move on to Peabody next week. And Winthrop, on the road all year long, will be at Medford. Here's a run play up the middle. It's going to be stopped for no gain. Right at the 32, 46 seconds left to go. So we'll wrap this thing up, and I'll go over the scoring, and then... get some comments from Coach Paul Ingram, and then we'll get ready for tomorrow's game. Tomorrow, we'll be on the air probably around 1:30. We'll have both coaches in our pregame show, Bishop Fenwick's Dave Woods and Maskinomich's Jim Pugh. You know, Coach Pugh, you
very well.
Played some tough games, you two.
We had some great games, and I know him very well. I used to have a passing camp in the summer, and we'd always go over, and he was well-organized, and real nice guy. I really thought he was a really good coach. We beat him when I was playing every game, but boy, he got better certainly at defending us. I remember the last game we played, we really struggled to score points. He just really kind of figured out what we were doing and made it very difficult. And I'll be honest with you, Masco was not one of my favorite places to play. There were certain fields
yep.
that you just had this awful feeling, and Masco was one.
There were some games there, I know.
We really struggled over there. We won, but we struggled.
Well, the other matchups were you and Coach Durgan over a classical.
Oh, yeah, I don't think anything will ever match that. I mean, we were so lucky.
We'll talk about that next time. This game is over. Final score from Dr. Deering Stadium in Danvers. It is the Danvers Falcons 31. The Winthrop Vikings nothing. We'll take our final break of the night, and we'll come back and wrap this thing up. Glad you were with us.
Ever wish that help with your business was as nearby as your next-door neighbor? At Cape Ann Savings Bank, we're the folks who have helped our neighbors build prosperous communities since 1846. And we invite you to give us a call, discuss your vision, and learn how we can help you grow your business. We're here for you. You have questions. We have answers. Just give us a call, 888-283-CASB, or visit capeandsavingsbank.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
Well, a very successful opening for the Danvers Falcons under first-year head coach Ryan Nolan. And, well, let me just recap that, then I'll turn it over to Paul here for a second. First quarter, it was Justin Mullaney scoring from 42 yards away. That was a 6-yard, 82-yard touchdown drive. 2:07 left to go in the first. 8-0. Holland got the 2 points, so it's 8-0 Danvers. Second play of the second quarter, Taj Coakley goes 4 yards into the end zone. That was only a 3-play, 27-yard touchdown drive. 10:26 left to go in the half. 15-0 Danvers. And then... later on at 2:23 left to go in the second quarter. It was Colby Holland finishing off an 8-play, 76-yard touchdown drive from 4 yards away, and that made it 21-0 at the half. Holland scored again at 6:17 of the third to make it 28-0 on a 12-yard run. Another 3-yard touch, 3-play touchdown drive from 23 yards away. And then 41-yard field goal by the captain. 41 yards, that finished off a 13-play, 35-yard touchdown, not touchdown, but scoring drive, I should say. And that finished off our scoring, making the score where it is at the final 31-0. And for Zach Dillon, captain, again, that 41-yard field goal. 219 yards of offense for Danvers. Winthrop just a little bit north of 109. And, of course, we're all waiting to see how Taj Coakley made out again. He was down for a while, got up and walked off the field under his own power, but did not play anymore in the third. Coach, how the first varsity win as a head coach, do you remember what that feels like?
Yeah, you do. Very good. Well, you know, I think you want to prove to the kids, too, that you can get them in the win column. And my first win was against St. John's Prep, and I've always remembered it.
Well,
so
yeah.
That was a big win for me, and it was in a pouring rainstorm. So, yeah, it's a big win for the coach and the staff. But this seems like a duplicate of last year.
Yeah.
Very much so. And Danvers, I think, has got a pretty good team, and they're well coached. And I've seen a huge... I just have been more impressed with Danvers since Bruce Rich has gotten there. He's very experienced, and I just think they're doing a lot of good things and present a lot of problems. And watching the young backs coming, and even the quarterbacks, I mean, they really looked like they were pretty talented mm-hmm. players. And, you know, so it should be interesting to see. I think they'll be pretty tough again this year. Winthrop is just, you know, it's... I think what you have to do is get those freshmen and sophomores to stay within the program and hope, you know, so that in the future, in a couple of years, I think it's going to be difficult to be good year in and year out, but if they can just keep those kids interested and maybe give them some experience and get them in the weight room, you know, in a couple of years, they're going to be back where they used to be.
And they'll have a new field. Well, we want to wish congratulations to Coach Ryan Nolan, his first varsity win as a head coach. As it's 31-0 Danvers for Sean Driscoll in his 11th season. He is now 53-48 overall. And again, next week the Falcons will be playing at Peabody. There'll be a broadcast game with Bill and Tim, and that will be at 7:00 on Friday. Winthrop travels to Medford next week. Our next broadcast game is tomorrow at 2:00. Bishop Fenwick is at Hamilton Wenham. That'll be on Channel B. And then Beverly is at Lynn English High School tomorrow at Channel 7. Thanks to our streamography crew, headed up by Andrew Nicastro. Thanks to Paul Ingram, former Gloucester High School football coach. And I know you won 4 Super Bowls with Gloucester? Overall? How many teams did you coach on that won Super Bowls?
6.
You got one?
I think it was 6.
All right. So there you go. So you... Coach knows what he's talking about. I'm not sure I do all the time. Again, we'll see you tomorrow. On behalf of Paul Ingram, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, I'm Rick Moore, reminding you of the final score. Danvers, 31, and Winthrop, 0. Good night.